This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment. Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
It's 9 minutes after six. The overnight crude oil market, 96 cents higher at 92.78. The Brent crude, 111 higher at 111.73. The February gold contract, $8.40 higher at $1,684.20. The U.S. dollar index, 0.233 lower at 79.536. In trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, ending on Monday, March corn ended at $6.98 and a quarter, up $4.25. May corn ended at $7.25, up $3.50. July corn ended at $6.97 and a quarter, up $2.50. March wheat on Monday ended at $7.78, down $0.75. May wheat ended at $7.87 and three quarter, down $0.75. July wheat ended at $7.93 and three quarter, down $1.25. January soybeans Monday ended at $14.18 and three quarter, down $5.25. March beans ended at $14.09 and a half, down $8.50. May beans ended at $13.99 and a quarter, down $10.25. January soybean meal Monday ended at $4.2060, down $0.71. March meal ended at $4.1940, down $0.54. May meal ended at $4.1180, down $0.52. January soybean oil on Monday ended at $49.16, up $0.22. March oil ended at $49.70, up $0.26. May oil ended at $50.18, up $0.27. March oats on Monday ended at $3.47.5, down $1.15. May oats ended at $3.54.5, down $1.75. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's grain report. First of all, the Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids dropped 5 to 8 cents on Monday to range from 14.30 to 14.44, while basis ended steady to 3 cents lower at 11 to 25 over January. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $7.10 a ton on Monday to range from $4.3260 to $4.4260. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids down 4 cents at, increased 4 cents at $7.02 to $7.13, with basis ending steady, ranging from $4 to $15 over the March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 4 cents stronger at $6.73 to $6.79, basis steady at $25 to $19 under the March. Soybeans down 5 cents at $14.36 to $14.44, with basis also steady ranging from $17 to $25 over the January. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, they dropped a penny on Monday, ranging from $7.52 to $7.64, with basis steady at $42 to $30 under July. That concludes our grain report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures from the Chicago Board of Trade on Monday, February hogs ended at 85.72, down 65. April hogs ended at 88.72, down $1.40. May hogs ended at 95.72, down 187. December cattle on Monday ended at 129.90, up a half dollar. February cattle 132.30, down 127. April cattle 136.37, down 85. January feeder cattle on Monday ended at 151.40, down 62. March feeders 154.27, down 45. April feeders 156.50, down 30. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday afternoon's livestock report. First of all, in the Eastern Corn Belt on Monday afternoon, barrels of gilts on a carcass basis traded 38 cents lower. The base price for a 200-pound pork carcass ranged from $70 to $80.20, with a weighted average carcass price of $80.13. From the Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report on Monday, slaughter sows traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded at $42 to $45. 4 to 5 weight sows at $43 to $48. 5 to 550s at $46 to $49. And heavyweight sows over 550 pounds range from $47 to $50, with a few head at $52. On the Illinois Direct Trade on Monday, barrels and gilts at the country buying points traded mostly steady. U.S. 1 and 3 grade barrels and gilts weighing 220 to 290 traded at $52 to $55. Also, a special report from the bread cow auction at the Carthage Livestock Auction on Friday. At the bread cow sale, receipts did total 670 head, a large offering with a near capacity crowd and very good demand. Bread cows considered medium and large, and the third stage considered young traded at 1600 to 2250. Some bread cow large in the second stage considered young at 1600 up to 2350. Large cows in the second stage considered middle age at $1,350 up to $2,300, and the bred cows large in the second stage considered age at $1,000 to $1,350. Bred cows large in the third stage considered young at $1,800 to $2,500. The middle age cows considered in the third stage at $1,350 to $2,500. And cow-calf pairs, medium and large ones, considered young range from $2,100 up to $2,450. And cow-calf pairs, medium large ones, middle-aged cows at $1,400 to $2,400. From the National Carlot Pork Report at the close on Monday, trading was slow to moderate as 73 loads did trade. The fresh quarter-inch trim loins were a dollar lower. Boston butts were unevenly steady. And for the day, a 200-pound pork carcass was $1.07 higher, closing at $82.39. On the box beef cutout values, Monday at the close, trading ended slightly higher. Choice carcasses weighing 600 to 900 pounds increased 68 cents up to 194.15, and select carcasses gained 76 cents at 181.05. On the estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection on Monday, cattle slaughter estimated a very light holiday-ridden 82,000 head compared to 31,000 last week and 9,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter, though, a very large estimate of 357,000 head compared to 143 last week and only 5,000 head on the holiday a year ago. Also, we have a recap of the Hamilton's Madison County hay auction last Saturday. Receipts for that auction totaled 1,521 bales, and compared to last week, small squares of alfalfa sold a dollar lower, with small grass hay in small squares mostly steady, and the wheat straw steady to 50 cents lower, while the large rounds and large squares were trading mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares range from $5.40 up to $5.60 per bale, with some large squares of 3x3s at $1.25 up to $1.50. Good quality small squares of alfalfa range from $3 up to $5.10, with some large squares of 3x3s ranging from $1.01 to $1.11, some large rounds 4x5s at $71 per bale. Alfalfa orchard grass mix, good quality small squares range from $4.70 up to $5.20. Mixed grass hay, good quality small squares at $4 to $4.40, with some large squares 3x3s at $68, some large rounds 5x5s at $70 to $75, and large rounds 4x5s at $50 to $60 per bale. That concludes our livestock report for Monday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from Monday: for butter, 149 and 3/4 unchanged. For block cheese, 176 up 2. For barrel cheese, 171 unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk ending Monday, $17.91. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.94. To Scottville for January, $6.86. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $14.38. Wheat delivered to Scottville, $7.37. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. And that's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Color radar shows no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
Ready to improve your farm's operating efficiency? Talk to FS about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service Company will provide you with an integrated system of agronomic products and services, placing the latest innovations of precision farming technology at your fingertips. And with expert analysis and recommendations, the process of decision-making becomes a lot easier. Discover how FS can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today and find out why FS is your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, your natural resource.
Sunny skies across mid-Illinois today, high temperatures in the low 30s and light southwest winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, low temperatures in the low 20s. And for tomorrow, Thursday, partly cloudy, high temperatures in the low 30s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the low 20s, highs in the mid-30s. Right now at the Weather Center, the winds are calm, the barometric pressure steady, our temperature 5 above. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Listen for high school basketball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations, brought to you by West End Food Mart in Raymond, Mid-Central District Council of Carpenters, Dom Crop Insurance in Greenville, Mike and Clara Yotsko at Mount Olive Auto Body, The Pizza Man in Litchfield, and by Big Ed at Wartzing's Appliances and Video in beautiful downtown Litchfield and Carlinville. And for the broadcast and online broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by EnviroFoam of America and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. First of all, this morning, while the country technically went over the fiscal cliff at midnight Tuesday, any significant impact should be avoided as negotiators were able to reach a deal late Monday night that was approved by the Senate early Tuesday morning by a vote of 89-8. Late Tuesday night, it was also approved by the House on a vote of 257-167. The package permanently extends current tax rates for families earning less than $450,000 a year and permanently patches the alternative minimum tax. Automatic across-the-board spending cuts that were scheduled to start this month will be postponed for 2 months. The estate tax, which was set to increase from 35% to 55%, will increase to a 40% tax rate with a $5 million exemption. Capital gains and dividend tax rates for those earning less than $450,000 are permanently extended, while rates for those earning more will increase from 15 to 20%. The measure also extends the 2008 Farm Bill for the rest of the fiscal year. Because a vote came after the December 31st deadline, the final deal will take place retroactively, so tax rates continue uninterrupted for most taxpayers. Reports late Monday night were that an extension of the 2008 Farm Bill was not likely to be considered as part of the fiscal cliff legislation, but an extension of the current measure through the end of September was ultimately included in the measure approved by the Senate early Tuesday morning and by the House late Tuesday night. Reports are that the extension included in the package a trimmed-down version of the plan proposed by Senate and House Agriculture Committee leaders over the weekend. A Senate aide said it would extend the dairy program some want to replace and leave out disaster assistance. There is also no funding for energy provisions and other expired programs that were in the 2008 legislation. Pat Roberts, ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, said the extension is not the best possible bill, but is the best bill possible at this time. He said it provides consumers certainty by avoiding the dairy cliff and provides certainty to producers and their lenders as Congress continues to work on a farm bill in 2013. Senate Ag Chair Debbie Stabenow called the farm bill extension incomplete, stating that it ends funding for important parts of the bill while continuing costly taxpayer subsidies that were ended in the Senate-passed farm bill. Rather than embracing the bipartisan Senate farm bill, which cut $24 billion in spending, Senator Stabenow said Senator McConnell insisted on a partial extension with no reform and no deficit reduction. She also said the partial extension hurts many areas of the agriculture economy. A McConnell spokesman said the Senate put forward a bipartisan, responsible solution that averted the dairy cliff and provided certainty to farmers for the next year without costing taxpayers a dime. Concerns about the Mississippi River are growing as ice is further reducing water levels. Some now predict barge traffic could come to a halt within the next 2 weeks. The river level is projected to drop another 3 feet at the gauge in Thebes by the 7th, which equates to a 10-foot deep channel or 9-foot operating draft on barges. As such, the Army Corps of Engineers expects new limitations on river traffic will go into place. With no relief in sight, it's predicted that the gauge at Thebes will indicate an 8-foot depth on the 23rd. The Coast Guard has indicated traffic will remain open, but the Waterways Council and the American Waterways operators have suggested that further limitations on barges would result in a de facto closure as commercial traffic grinds to a halt. In some other farm news this morning, the Hamilton Hay Auction was held Saturday, and with a recap, we'll join Mike Hamilton.
Well, Randy, we had a lot of hay. We ended up with 1,303 small squares. Small squares alfalfa was in a price range from $2.10 on some real light bales up to $5.60 on some good hay. The grass hay was from $2.90 to $4.70 a bale. We ended up with 528 small squares of straw, and it was from $1.60 to $2.60. We ended up with 201 3x3x8 bales. The alfalfa was in a price range from $101. And we had some real premium alfalfa come out of the western Kansas and Nebraska out of the irrigated circles, and it brought $150 a bale. We had Milo and 3x3x8s from $48 to $60, and we had some grass hay at $68 a bale. We ended up with 102 round bales. The alfalfa was at $71. Mixed grass was from $50 to $75. And then we had some Timothy hay at from $43 to $44.50 a bale, and the round bales of straw was at $36.
Did you have good buyer attendance, Mike? Did you have a good buyer attendance Saturday?
You know, we were a little light on buyers due to the holiday, and then we had an estate auction not too far from here, farm sale, so a lot of our people were up there, but. Overall, people was here to buy, and seemed like we had a lot of hay going into the southern states this week. So the interest is out there. It just seems like it's slow getting started this year.
Well, there's a lot of season left, and you'll be back at it again this Saturday?
Yes, we'll start at accepting hay on Fridays from noon on, and the sale starts right at 11 o'clock on Saturday.
And that was Mike Hamilton of the Hamilton Ag Auction at Fosterburg. Despite record feed costs last summer and a big sell-off in hog prices in September, there has been little change in projected hog production. And why hasn't there been a bigger toll among pork producers? Steve Meyer, president of Paragon Economics, says more producers are managing risk through forward contracting.
In doing so, they manage both sides of that profit equation, both costs and hog prices. And some of those withstood the huge losses of 2008 and 9 and really came in out of that in decent financial condition, even though the industry itself was hurt very, very badly. In addition, that same practice has been carried on by larger and larger, wider proportion of the pork producers in the last couple of years, and I think some of them avoided some of the losses that our models, which are based on cash buying of corn and cash selling of hogs, because we really don't know how much else is done out there. Those models have told us that losses were very severe, and I think a lot of producers have avoided those.
Mr. Meyer says pork producers came into the fall in relatively decent financial condition. As a result, sow slaughter has held steady.
These guys are hog producers, and they're going to be hog producers, and they're going to bet kind of everything on that we're going to have a decent corn crop this year, and costs are going to go down, and they can survive another year and then thrive into 2014, and I think that's what we're seeing. And there is huge amounts of risk being taken here because of the reduction of financial resources and the risk that, based on what the drought looks like right now, that we will not have as good a crop again this next year as what we need.
Mr. Meyer says the swine industry is betting on a change in U.S. weather and a continued strong export situation in 2013. For more information, go to www.pork.org. Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau Radio Network recently talked to an area high school student who spent time this past semester in Wisconsin.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. Shelby Hine is a junior at Gillespie High School and a member of the Gillespie FFA. This past semester, we haven't heard too much from Shelby locally because she's been in Wisconsin at Conserve School. We caught up over Christmas break with Shelby, and she told us more about her semester in Wisconsin.
Just before Christmas break, Shelby, this is a really interesting year for you. You just got back to Gillespie High School. Tell us about this semester.
This semester, I went to a school up in Wisconsin called Conserve School. And there, all of our classes were environmentally based, and they taught us stewardship and everything and how to really be with the land. I mean, my friends all called it hippie school, but really wasn't like that. But, I mean, we still had our math classes. It was like regular high school with a college base to it. I mean, we were on 12,000 acres of forest and campus, and we had four lakes that we could choose to go paddling on or anything else. And our PE, now that was the best. I mean, PE, we would go canoeing, kayaking, hiking, backpacking, and they taught us, you know, camping skills and everything and how to be by ourselves and know what to pack when we go out. And English and history were outside most of the time, no matter what the weather. They'd warn us at lunchtime so we could go back to our dorms, change, and get warm clothes on, and then head out. So it was really fun.
And how did you hear about this opportunity?
My dad. It was actually from a guy he worked with, had the Chamber of Commerce paper with him. And my dad saw the ad for the school and got requested information, and I just fell in love with it. So I signed up, and I was accepted. I was one of the last ones to get accepted for this fall semester.
Well, what's the opportunity here? You're the only Gillespie student that's ever taken advantage of this, and maybe the first of many.
Yes, I hope that more people will go. You know, people who want to help our world and our environment should go to this school. I mean, right now they have a scholarship opportunity going on, so it's not that expensive. I mean, it used to be, but now they have this scholarship going on, and it's $200, and that's for our room, our food, and all of these wonderful classes.
Leaving your folks and having really a peek at college life, that was sort of interesting, huh?
Oh, yes. We had dorms. We all had a wing, and we all had our own room. We just had a suite mate that we shared a bathroom with. We just became this big community. We'd meet. We'd have campfires. It was wonderful.
So all of your credits then transferred here to Gillespie High School?
Yes. I have a whole science credit because I took two science classes while I was there. And, yeah, they're... Gillespie accepted it, and all of my credits will transfer, and I'll come right back into ag.
Did anything change as far as your future plans and what you might do career-wise?
Oh, yeah, I'm up in the air. I thought I had everything set out, but now that I've been to Conserve School and seen all of these different opportunities, I'm up in the air again with all these wonderful ideas and everything else.
So you will start back here in this semester as a second semester junior and vice president of the Gillespie FFA. How do you think you'll transition back, and are you looking forward to 2013?
Oh, yes. I am looking forward to Mr. Spencer already wants me to talk to some people about this and everything else, and I can't wait to get back into the FFA competitions because up there we didn't have any. I'm really excited to be back and just seeing all of my friends and being with them.
Shelby Hine in Gillespie. We know we'll hear more from Shelby in the FFA this semester, but she also said if anyone would like details about the opportunities at Conserve School, you can log on to conserveschool.org. Reporting for WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. And it is coming up on 6:33 on this Wednesday morning from WSMI FM 106. We'll keep you updated throughout the day with the commodity markets on both WSMI and WSMI FM. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value, and by Envirofoam of America.